जय राधा मदाभा कुंजा बिहारी गिरिवरधारी जय गोपी जन भालाभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जामुना तीरा बनचारी जमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा मधवा कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशिष्यमाद हिसेवाइंग वैसेसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशिष्यमाद हिसेवाइंग वैस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडराचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की करंतरा श्रीमं भागवतं की इताई गौर प्रेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरीस टू शिशि गुरु अंशि गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 The Summon Bonum Chapter 8 Lord Krishna shows the universal form within his mouth Text number 26 and 27 I read 26 first. Kale nalpena rajarshe Rama Krishna chagokule Agrista janubhi bhatbir Vichakra matur angjasa Translation, O King Parikshit, within a very short time, both Rama and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokula on their legs by their own strength without a need to crawl purport. Instead of crawling with their knees, the babies could now stand up by holding onto something and walk little by little without difficulty by the strength of their legs. Text number 27. Tatastu Bhagavan Krishna. Bhajasyar Braja Balakai. Saharamo Brajastrinam. Chikride Janajam Mudam. Tatastu Bhagavan Krishna Bhajasyar Braja Balakai Saharamo Brajastrinam Chikride Janajam Mudam. Tatastu Bhagavan Krishna Bhajasyair Brajabalakai Saharamo Brajastrinam Chikride Janajam Mudam. Please chant. Tatastu Bhagavan Krishna Brajasyar Brajabalakai Saharamo Brajastrinam Chikride Janajam Mudam. Tatastu Bhagavan Krishna Bhajasyair Brajabalakai Saharamo Brajastrinam Chikride Janajam Mudam. Tataha. Thereafter, to but Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Bhajasyai, with their playmates, Brajabalakai, with other small children in Braja, Saharamaha, along with Balaram, Brajastrinam, of all the ladies of Braja, Chikride, play very happily, Janajan, awakening, Mudam, transcendental bliss. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Thereafter, Lord Krishna, along with Balaram, began to play with the other children of the cowherd men, thus awakening the transcendental bliss of the cowherd woman. Purport. The word Saharama, meaning along with Balaram, is significant in this verse. In such transcendental pastime, Krishna is the chief hero and Balaram provides additional help. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Ramapada Swami Iti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Bancha Kalpatarubya Shakri Pasindu Vyeva Chapatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Srila Sukadev Goswami established the factual position of both Lord Krishna and Lord Rama, and Lord Balaram. It is understood by the revelation of Garga Rishi that both these personalities were incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, I correct myself. There is not incarnations. They are the Supreme, they are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Equal, perfectly equal. And they come to perform their pastimes. However, by highlighting this, Prabhupada highlight this in the purport, that using the word Saha Rama along with Balaram indicates that Krishna is a chief hero and Balarams provide additional help. So that's a very important understanding, and it puts the whole it puts the whole philosophy and understanding and knowledge of the absolute truth in perfect alignment, and with it perfectly makes sense. When we use the word Bhagavan, or we use the word Supreme, or as a matter of fact, the word God, it's always indicating that there is one without a second, that there is no one is greater or equal to this personality. So by definition, there must be one supreme one supreme entity from which everything emanates, just by definition. So when we hear these type of things, that okay, there's all these manifestations of the personality of Godhead and they're all equal, it can be confusing. It can be confusing. In fact, it is confusing, because many of devotees who worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they have sometimes different understandings which one of all these different manifestations of the Personality of Godhead is the original, is supreme. So the idea that one is the fountainhead and the other ones come from, it's always the natural understanding that they have to be a fountainhead. The explanation that is many candles, but there's one candle, you first have to light the first candle, and when that first candle is light, then with that one you light the other ones. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the spotless Purana, because it establishes the complete and perfect understanding of the absolute truth. So therefore, the most important verse of the Bhagavatam, the one that defines the whole content of the Bhagavatam, the term that is used is paribhasa shloka. Which means it is the is the verse that contains, that describes, that actually establishes the whole theme or message of the Bhagavatam. So consider the most important, the one that defines the whole thing. And that verse is described by Srila Sutta Goswami. Ete chamsa kalapunsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. That establishes Krishna as Bhagavan Swayam, the original personality of Godhead, and all the other manifestations of the personality of Godhead in the form of different forms of Lord Vishnu, they are ete chamsa, they're either ansas or, so in other words, the translation is their expansion or expansion of expansions of the personality of Godhead, direct expansions or expansion of expansions. And there is all kinds of technical terms for each one of these expansions. So the Bhagavatam established it very clearly. Krishna is the fountainhead. From Krishna everything emanates. So the first expansion we hear consistently throughout, you know, this the Bhagavatam is Lord Balaram. So it is explained then that there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Balaram, but the difference is in colors and in mood, in function. So Lord Balaram, he is there to basically accompany the Lord. He goes along with the Lord. Why is that? Because Lord Balaram is the manifestation of Krishna to actually accompany him. It is explained that because the Lord is Anandamaya Vyasat, he searches for pleasure, then he expands himself. He expands himself into different forms. He expands his energies. So it's the inconceivable potency of this, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that all these expansions, all the expansions of the energies, all the expansions of himself, they manifest personalities that are full and complete, perfectly complete, and with full personalities, and they have the particular activity or function that they're going to perform, and then according to that function they manifest a form that facilitates that performance and is fully complete with a personality, with moods and like that. So it is quite inconceivable. So Lord Balaram has a personality, and his personality is to serve Krishna. So his whole focus is to serve Krishna, and he manifests all kinds of different, he expands himself in so many ways. So really, Lord Balaram at the end is the one that does everything. So Krishna simply enjoys, and Lord Balaram does the rest. He takes care of the creation for Krishna. He takes care of making all the facilities for Krishna. He accompanies Krishna to enhance and to facilitate Krishna's happiness and pastimes. So it's perfectly established. And whenever Krishna appears, Lord Balaram is there. So when Lord Krishna's pastimes are especially human-like, and specifically the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, the pastimes of Krishna himself, and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Balaram also appears on those pastimes in his original form like that. Well, his original form, Lord Balaram, but as when Lord Ramachandra appears, he appears as Lakshman. And when Lord Chaitanya appears, he appears as Lord Nityananda. And then when other incarnations are there, like Lord Vishnu, then he appears as Ananta Shesha. So he accompanies the Lord. He's constantly there with the Lord. And we see Lord Nrisimhadev also have Ananta Shesha when he is seated, you know, regally, and Lord Vishnu is with Ananta Shesha. He lies in Ananta Shesha. So Lord Balaram is always there alone with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the original Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. So for Lord Balaram, his function is to always establish Krishna as the chief hero. Lord Balaram's purpose is not to, how to say, upstage, that's, you know, Krishna. He always facilitates, he always serves Krishna's purpose. The mood of Lord Balaram is also supremely exemplified, or supremely displayed rather, by Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya came to play the part of a devotee, and so Lord Nityananda also, as a devotee of the Lord, he shows the mood of a servant. And therefore, because that is the position of Lord Balaram, he is the perfect, he is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. That's how it's described. The personality of servitor Godhead, or servitorship Godhead, servitor Godhead. So because that is his mood and his position, he is also the original guru, because guru is the servant of the Lord who teaches bhakti, who teaches how to serve the Lord. So so Lord Balaram is the original guru, and so Lord Chaitanya, being the most magnanimous incarnation of the Lord, who comes to give this Sankirtan, to establish the chanting of the holy names at the Yuga Dharma, and to give to the living entities the opportunity to attain the highest position of devotional service in the mood of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Lord Balaram comes as Lord Nityananda to assist that. And Lord Nityananda becomes also he displays his position as the Adi Guru, or the original spiritual master. And he teaches us that mood of fully serving the spiritual master. So the disciple never tries to outstage the spiritual master. The disciple also always goes along with the spiritual master. and facilitates the mission of the spiritual master, serve the mission of the spiritual master. So Lord Nityananda never outstaged Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Nityananda performed one of his most famous pastimes, in which it describes sometimes that he is even more merciful than Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous, then Lord Nityananda he displays this pastime of compassion on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. In other words, although when we hear the narration, some devotees glorify Lord Nityananda as that Lord Nityananda displays even more mercy than the Lord. But Lord Nityananda very, very quickly in the past and established that he is representing the mercy of the Lord. So it's actually the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And at the end, it's perfectly established that is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And that is in the past sense of liberating Jagai and Madai. The Lord ordered Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya ordered Lord Nityananda to go door to door with Haridas Thakur and tell people to take up the process of Krishna consciousness. So Lord Nityananda, with great enthusiasm and happiness, took the service, and then both Haridas Thakur and him will go door to door, and they will fall on people's feet, and they will say, what is it, the famous verse also, Bhaje Krishna, Bhaje, something like, worship Krishna, see Krishna, Krishna as your father, Krishna as your mother, Krishna as your pran, your life, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna pran. And take up to the chanting of the holy names. So they will do this and convince people and make people devotees. But Lord Nityananda, he thought that in order to glorify, as they were going through the town, they heard this big commotion. And when they checked, what's going on, they saw that there was these two very rough, violent, degraded personalities, completely drunken, just creating this big chaos in the town. And they found out that these two were fallen brahmanas of the name Jagai and Madai, who had become the greatest criminals in towns. They were actually like almost like the head gangsters of the town. They will by sinful means control the whole town. Were very, very degraded people. And it is explained that there was no sinful act that they hadn't commit, from murder to rape to all the thievery and all kinds of things. Terrible, terrible people, and constantly intoxicated. So Haridas Thakur was ready to just go the other way, because these people were so sinful, there was no way of actually being able to correct them. In fact, they were very dangerous, because they were very inimical to the Vaishnavas. They were Shakti worshippers. So they were tantric. So they embraced more the tantric. So the tantrics were very against the Vaishnavas. So it was very dangerous, and it didn't make sense to take that. First, there was no case to even, you know, it's like trying to go and preach, you know, to MS-13 people, you know, some gangsters, very dangerous gangsters that are way gone, and you're trying to go and tell them, you know, give up your sinful life and come and join the ashram or something like that. Mother Hemangi will freaked out if you bring one of those fully tattooed guys, you know, with MS-13. Daily routine. Yeah. So, but Lord Nityananda, when he saw these two, he say, if I can only convert these two, then the glories of Lord Chaitanya will be established with no doubt throughout the whole world. That's the most magnanimous. So I have to convert these two. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he have full trust in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and he wanted to glorify, to establish with no doubt that Lord Chaitanya came to this world as Patita Pavana, the friend of the most fallen. They are the most fallen persons they have ever seen. So therefore, they're the most fit candidates for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So he decided, we're going to tell them about Lord Chaitanya. Haridas Thakur was, you know, not very enthusiastic about that, but he conceded, and, you know, and the two of them went, and we know the story. The two, Jagai and Madai, became extremely agitated and angry, and they, you know, started to chase them to try to kill them, but they were so drunk that they escaped, and both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. And then, after that, Lord Nityananda again decided to go. And this time, the two really chased them, you know, almost catching them. Lord Nityananda is very, you know, is youthful and very fast, and, you know, but Haridas Thakur was very old, so he was having a really hard time. He almost got caught by this too, so they hardly escape. And Haridas Thakur reported to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya basically recognized, if Lord Nityananda wants to liberate these two, they will be liberated. And so Lord Nityananda took great courage validation from the Lord, and then he again went, and this time the two drunkens, Jagai especially, hit him in the head with a earthen pot and broke his head, so Lord Nityananda was bleeding profusely. Lord Chaitanya came to kill the two, and Lord Nityananda plead to the Lord that no, that you can, if you kill them, then you have to kill the, you know, so many people in this world. So so by Lord Nityananda's desire, Lord Chaitanya gave the liberation to the two Jagai and Madai. And then Jagai and Madai surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, and they became fully perfectly situated in devotional service. They became great, great devotees. But so they were able to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So at the end, Lord Nityananda was simply establishing that the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is there even to the most fallen. So he is the servant, he is the one who facilitates for the most fallen, leads the most fallen to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So it's a perfect example of a devotee, of a guru, who on behalf of Lord Chaitanya, they take the most fallen and allow them to receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the mood of Lord Balaram that is manifested when he appears, you know, in the different pastimes of the Lord, human-like pastimes. It's always serving and accompanying the Lord, always facilitating the Lord's desires. So Lord Chaitanya wants to give mercy to all living entities, and there is Lord Balaram as Lord Nityananda facilitating that, making that possible. And showing us by example how we can serve Krishna, Guru and Krishna, our spiritual master too. So the disciple, just like Lord Nityananda, never outstage the spiritual master. They always understand that whatever I'm doing is simply by the mercy of my spiritual master, and everything I'm doing is just to glorify the position of my spiritual master. So it's always clear to the disciple what his position is. It's not, if you can call someone a disciple when someone starts to take credit for whatever devotional service one does. So by the grace of the spiritual master, then one may be able to successfully perform a service, and people will recognize that. And if we take that credit and accept it, oh yes, 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 I did that very nicely, then that is not bona fide. That is not a proper disciple. The disciple, just like Srila Prabhupada, was a perfect example of that. He always gave the credit to his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and so on. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave the credit to his Guru Maharaj, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. So this is the perfect example of Lord Balaram and the potency of Lord Balaram as always accompanying Krishna, and the pastime is the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Lord Balaram is simply assisting that. So Krishna is a chief hero. Lord Balaram is a hero, but Krishna is a chief hero. And that's how Lord Balaram wants it. If you will put Lord Balaram in the front, Lord Balaram will be very upset and will chastise you. You know, will hit you with his club. Any comments or questions?
Thanks for the class, Suha. Yeah, although these two verses had a very little purport, there was so much entail in terms of the philosophical meaning of this sublime relationship between Krishna and Balaram. And I saw it like that, but like an analogy of we need always somebody else to be coached or to be in partnership to advance in our endeavors, in our projects, in our games, in our knowledge. And just in the 20 and verse 26, when they start like walking on their own without any help, you know, was kind of like an analogical thing. We are becoming individuals who are not depending anymore of something or somebody else, but just ourselves. And then we start meeting somebody, and who else much better than Balaram as, you know, primero guru. Yeah, love those two verses.
Thank you. Anything else?
I remember one time Nityananda Pranaprabhu was describing that in a Bhakti Shastri class, he was telling Prabhupada asked Giriraj Maharaj, so Krishna and Balaram are standing, so who is stronger? And Giriraj Maharaj said, Krishna is stronger. Then Prabhupada asked, how is that? So then Giriraj Maharaj told that since Balaram is putting his hand on the shoulder of Krishna, that means he is resting upon Krishna. Krishna is able to carry that strength. So that's why Krishna is stronger. Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna is stronger than Balaram.
Krishna is stronger.
Yes.
Although Balaram is the manifestation of strength, spiritual strength, he is still supporting, getting his support on Krishna. Yeah, nice. Okay. Thank you very much. Karantarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.